Welcome to the Servants of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Our podcast exists to provide trustworthy expository messages through the Bible and faithful answers to your theology questions. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, so welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And with me today is my friend Katie. Katie, welcome back, or welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's a joy to be here. Looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. Well, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your life, your marriage, your ministry, and, you know, your upcoming and, you know, ministry projects and all those things?
Sure. I'd be thrilled. Thanks. So I am Katie and I'm married to Scott. We're going to celebrate 17 years of marriage this summer, which is amazing to me. And then we have 5 children. We have 3 sons and 2 daughters. Our baby just turned 5, which is hard to believe. And, you know, it's interesting you asked about life and ministry and all this. And it's like, I think for this season of life, my life and ministry are very integrated, which I'm enjoying. I think primary ministry right now really is to these children. And, you know, they have some underlying health conditions, which might come up in our conversation a little bit. And then my husband is a pastor. So, you know, we spend a lot of time at church as a family, serving in a variety of capacities. We were, we're at church this morning. So I'm in a room off to the side to do this interview. But we were helping with the food ministry this morning, which is always a lot of fun for us. My boys are really helpful with getting boxes off of trucks and getting that set up. So we were doing that today. I'm trying to think. And so, you know, the main reason I'm here today is to talk about my upcoming book that's coming out called He Will Be Enough. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to write because I do feel like it is a way to be able to serve, you know, as a stay-at-home mom, like it's a way that I can serve broader than my immediate circle as well. So I'm grateful for that opportunity.
And you're a really good writer. So
you're very kind. And yes, Dave, you were very strategic in the beginning of my writing experience. I was very discouraged trying to figure out how to get started and who to write for, what that whole process. And I remember when you picked up my piece, I just remember thinking, oh, thank you, Lord. Like, not just that it's personally affirming, but when, you know, just that encouragement of like, okay, this is a gift and I want to use it for the Lord, but what's that going to look like? So I just felt like the Lord used you strategically to offer encouragement in that season.
Mm. Well, praise the Lord. You've been an encouragement to me too. So,
thanks.
Can you tell us about this book, He Will Be Enough, How God Takes You by the Hand Through Your Hardest Days, why you wrote it, and how you hope it'll be received?
Sure. He Will Be Enough. So the He is God, and the enough in that title, I associate with 2 Corinthians 12:9 and the sufficiency of Christ. And so that idea that He will be enough. And the book really, I'm hoping, is going to reach people who maybe, you know, I hope it applies to a lot of people in a lot of different situations, but I'm thinking particularly of the person who is either standing at the beginning of a trial or has been walking through one and doesn't necessarily see an end in sight. And maybe he's asking that question, will God be enough? Will his grace really sustain me for each day of this trial? And so my hope would be to encourage that person that yes, his grace is sufficient for each day of the journey homeward towards heaven, whether that trial ends here on earth or doesn't end until heaven. And then the subtitle, How God Takes You by the Hand Through Your Hardest Days, I think of Psalm 139 and that idea that there's nowhere we can go, that he doesn't see us, that the Lord doesn't see us, that he isn't watching over us, that that he's not holding on to us. So that's part of the thought behind that subtitle. But the book itself, I mean, it grew out of some really hard things in my own experience as well. So
It's a good book. And guys, if you're watching the video, here it is. Here's the book. And I guess I'm one of the blessed ones you're saying before we recorded, because it's, they're all in what, on ships and all that. And so I'm,
yes,
I'm blessed. I've had it for a little bit here. And guys, I always do this, you know, when I endorse a book, you know, I don't endorse many books. And so I'm kind of picky like that, I guess. I don't know. And maybe I'm just a pain in the butt, but that's true too. Anyways, so here's what I said. And He Will Be Enough, Katie takes readers by the hand into the world of scripture and walks them through their hard days with the hope of Christ. Reading Katie's book will help you discover the multifaceted diamond of Christ in all of his splendor for every difficult day and season of life. So this is going to be a fun conversation. So you were just mentioning, you know, the sufficiency of God's grace. How does the sufficiency of God's grace help us in hard days?
Sure. You know, there are certain seasons of my life I really can't imagine having walked through without the Lord. And I love that scripture tells us that his mercies are new every morning. And there have been nights where I wasn't sure how there would be mercy or grace for the next day, or where that was going to come from, or how that would connect with my everyday real life. And yet the Lord has been faithful to give that. That's been my story. That's been my song, that his grace really has been enough, that he has been faithful. But I think it makes all the difference in giving hope, giving perspective. So I think we go a lot of different ways with that question. Do you have a specific direction that you had in mind?
No, I think that's okay. You know, really good. You know, I think, you know, just to play off of that, you know, and in my own difficult days, it just helps me to remind myself, hey, I'm not alone in this. Well, not only am I not alone because of Christ, but also because of God's people who he's placed in my life. And you know, those people can speak truth in my life. And my wife does this exceptionally well. She'll be like, well, tell me what the thing is. And I interpret that as, let's give you the 50,000 foot theological definition. And what she's looking for is, what is that? How does that impact your, you know, your heart? Not the 50, don't give me the 50,000 foot lecture. So, it's God's grace is sufficient for us on, you know, days when we have grief, when we have pain, when we have hurt, when we, and even on the other side, on, we for often forget his good on, it's got, the grace of God is sufficient on our good days. When we, I think we forget that on our good days.
I think one of the things that I talk about early in the book is how, you know, grace can take a lot of different forms, but sometimes we're so focused on the trial that's at hand and wanting resolution that we can't always see the form that God's grace is taking. I give a specific example, you know, with my kids' condition, we needed to take them after their diagnosis for a lot of different medical tests, specifically blood work. There were several rounds of, you know, blood tests. And you know, over time, as I would ask different friends to pray on those days, I remember coming to a day where the blood draw was actually, you know, it went really smoothly. There were no tears. There were, you know, it was a good day. And just seeing that as grace. So here's something that's hard for my kids because of something that's hard for our family. And yet God's grace is showing up in the midst of it in sustaining and helping them through something that's hard. So I tend to be see the world glass half empty kind of person. And so I think this has been God's grace at work in my life, even starting to see how he is being gracious, even in the midst of hard things. And it's not just trying to cast a optimistic spin on something. It really is, you know, we're praying step by step to see God be gracious along the way. And then when you see his kind answers to prayer, see his provisions, then acknowledging, wow, that is God's grace in the middle of this. And I think that offers comfort too, because like you said, then you realize, oh, I'm not alone. God really is hearing me. And if he's hearing my prayers, even if he's not changing my circumstances necessarily the way I might idealize or hope, he's still here and he's real and he's caring for me. So that builds our trust. I built my trust that I can trust him with some of these other things too.
Well, you're not alone in forgetting God's goodness and his grace. I do that all the time. So as we'll talk about, you know, it's like, yeah, you know it up here, but how much do you know it down here in your heart? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the question. Paul, always reminded after, you know, giving that famous talk about contentment. So mm-hmm. guess what? Now you get to do verse 9 in Philippians 4. Now you get to put into practice. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where mm-hmm. you get to apply it. So mm-hmm. that's good. Mm-hmm. How does both the way we walk through our trials and the limits God sets for us show off the power of our resurrected Savior in our lives?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 and following. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, that's us, those jars of clay. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And that is part of our privilege, is to show off God's power, like you're talking about. So you're talking about those limits, starting in verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And I think those limits, not only have they been so encouraging to me to know that we can go through really hard things, but they can only go so far. That's been encouraging personally, but I think it also is this reminder and testimony to those who are watching, you know, that our God is setting limits for our suffering as well. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's really good. I'll be the personal example this time. About 6 months ago now, no, 7 months ago, one of my dear mentors from Idaho died, and he died of COVID complications, a COVID stroke complications, which he had a heart attack like about 2 years ago. And that was really like shocking. But because I was going to see him in December last year. So, you know, I hadn't seen him because of COVID and stuff like that, and being Californian now here in Oregon. And so we just hadn't gotten no chance to go over there yet. And this is a really good reminder for me, because I've been through biblical counseling in the last 7 months. And I realized very quickly, even though I know the answers and I'm equipped with tools, because I've been doing this, like, you know, a long time, I needed somebody to help me. I need somebody that wasn't anything like scandalous in my life or anything like that. I just knew that I needed a professional biblical counselor just to walk with me through and, you know, help me. And that has been very helpful to me. And just reminding, like, it's okay in the midst of my pain, in the midst of lamenting, in the midst of grief, to give myself grace when I'm super, super tired. But this reminder that God sets limits on our suffering to show off. I just reminded of this, even this last Easter, I realized that in the midst of this, I was here. I am. I've been doing this, you know, 21 years. I've been a Christian 30 years. It's possible for, as Martin Luther said, to forget the gospel. And that's why we need to remind ourselves. And so as my pastor was preaching on the resurrection, he wasn't talking about grief, but I realized as he was preaching, as he always says, the chief shepherd is going out and ministering to his people. And he is definitely ministering to me. And I realized I had forgotten the resurrected Christ. I was grieving without hope. And, you know, in the midst of the last couple of years, I think that I'm probably not alone. It's been a difficult thing. I thought for like a year, I was like, hey, I haven't had anybody die. Thank God for that. And then here, like one of the closest people that I'm with died. He wasn't just like my former pastor. Like, he was my adopted big brother. Like, we were really close. And so just this reminder that God, he not only is, we know that he's with us and that he's before us and he walks along ahead of us, that he sets the limits of our suffering. We see that in Job. Like, yes, Job is going through a tremendously difficult time, but you know, God is still, you know, with him. You know, we forget that because if God wasn't with Job, I mean, look at the devastation that was already caused. It would have been so much worse. But God was we need to remind ourselves, God was upholding Job. He was sustaining Job. He was, you know, providing for Job. And you know, Job came out of that. He got his butt kicked. Okay. I mean, there's no other way to say that. I mean, who are you to question God and you know, all of that? But I mean, that's paraphrased, but it's a good reminder for all of us coming out of this challenging COVID pandemic hardship that God is still good. You can lean into those hard things and
I love the example of Job, and that is, you know, one of the examples that I use in my book. But I think we have a privileged perspective as readers of that story, that we get to know kind of what's going on behind the scenes, that we don't necessarily know if Job ever knew about that, you know, that conversation between the Lord and Satan. And, you know, it's kind of like wacky stuff. I use that word, you know, in jest, but at the same time, it's like, well, maybe a little bit of this stuff that's maybe not so comfortable in the Bible. And yet at the same time, I think it offers great encouragement to us that, you know, Satan couldn't touch Job without God's permission, and he could only do what God was allowing. And God set limits. He set boundaries to that. And I think that offers great encouragement to us that, you know, at the end of the day, God is the one who's ultimately in control. And, you know, we have encouragement from other parts of scripture too, that whatever God does allow in his sovereignty into our lives, it's not going to be wasted. You know, he redeems, he's a redeemer, just as he saves us from our sin. He's going to redeem all of the hard stuff in our lives. It's not going to be wasted. So I think that offers a lot of encouragement to a believer. I hope Job, you know, I know his story gets flipped and there's a happy ending, but, you know, I wonder for him, like, what parts did he get to understand at the end and what parts did he not understand? And I think for our own stories, like, there might be things we never understand. And I don't know, maybe in heaven we'll get some explanations for some of these things. But even if we don't, you know, I think we're going to be just so happy to see Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate answer to all of the things that we need anyway. So yeah, I'm not sure the other stuff is going to matter as much.
Yeah. John Piper said, you know, we might, you know, God might show us like one out of a 10,000, what he means is really infinite things. We might only see one of them. And what you're talking about is exactly that. God in his providence might only show us just a little sliver, just to say, hey, I'm at work here. Maybe that's what Job saw. Like you're saying, we don't know. The text doesn't say so.
Yeah.
And that actually brings up another point that I think we should probably talk about as we're talking about this, because that actually should encourage us. It should shape us in the midst of our trials. And in the Hebrews 13:5-9 way, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we can really cling to him in that hurt, that pain. You know, with your children, with my parents, my mom's Alzheimer's, and my dad's dementia, the grief that I mentioned. I mean, these are all things that I have to remind myself of all the time. And if you don't do that, you're going to lose sight of your Savior. And that's why I'm trying to always tell people, eyes on Jesus, eyes on Jesus, you know, because what it does is it gets us to, we have to look up in a Hebrews 12:1 way to the author and finisher of our faith. So.
Amen. And, you know, you were very kind to allow me to write an article from the book, an excerpt from the book. And in that article, we talk about some of these things. But, you know, one of the things that I appreciate also is, you know, Job is very open with his questions. He asks God a lot of questions, and we can ask a lot of questions. What, why, especially, I think is a big one in our trials. But at the end of the day, what we really need the answer to is who. And that who is who you're talking about, Jesus. You know, even if our why questions never get answered, our what questions, how long, all of those things that we can be tempted to ask. I'm not necessarily tempted in a bad way either. It's not sinful necessarily to ask questions. I think it depends on the heart behind them. But at the end of the day, who we really need is who. We need Jesus.
Yeah. And the hard questions, you know, you look at the Psalm, like you mentioned Job, I just reminded of the Psalms. Mm-hmm. You look at the Psalms. Again and again and again, you know, David is downcast. And then what does he do? He reminds himself of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm sure he's, you know, questioning, having doubts, having, you know, kind of see that too, not as explicitly as that. But yeah, our, like you're saying, our questions aren't bad. God can handle our questions. But are they made in faith in him? Or like you're saying, are they made in not faith? And that's where you get into an issue. It's really good. You know, why is it important to understand that God has a plan, even in seasons of suffering, you know, even in our trials?
Yeah. So the book actually has 20 biblical truths. So each chapter has a truth about God and has a key verse. And so God has a plan is one of the truths about God that I kind of dive into in the book. And I think for me, it helps personally to know that God has a plan. Kind of going back to what I was saying before, like I can be tempted to just feel like, you know, all the time I spend in doctor's offices or waiting rooms with my kids, that that's just wasted. And yet knowing that this is not wasted time. These things that we're going through, God has a plan in it. And he has a plan for his glory. He has things that he's doing in the midst of our trials that are ultimately going to bring glory to him. And he also has plans and purposes for us. I think of Romans 8 and his purposes of sanctification for us to make us more like Jesus. And he can use even our trials to do that. Our trials can keep us dependent on the Lord. For those of us who tend towards self-sufficiency, that's a really good thing that God can do. That can be part of his plan in our trials to make us more dependent and aware of our need for him. They can help us grow in our prayer lives, you know, along with that dependence. You know, when we're in the middle of situations we have no control over, we can't fix, we can't change, and we're desperate and we cry out to the Lord for his help, that is a beautiful thing. So yeah, I think there are, for me personally, knowing God has a plan, that this isn't wasted, is a huge encouragement.
Oh yeah. Huge, huge. Because what that does is, you know, I've seen over the years, many Christians, and I'm sure you have too, they don't get this vital, essential thing. And what it does is slowly erodes their faith. So they're asking, they not only are asking the wrong questions, they're also basically accusing God, saying, God, you're not good. You're not good in the midst of my suffering. And we know that what suffering does is it really exposes what we believe about God. And that's what gave me pause about this grief, because I knew that because this was so close to me, I could easily become like that. And I don't want to go that way. You know, not that I would, I could, but I wouldn't, because I have a good theology of suffering. And even I'll say this, because of the things I've gone through in the past, I've seen God's faithfulness. I've seen God's goodness. And we can remind ourselves of that in the present suffering. And we should, you know, like that stone of remembrance in, you know, we just remember, hey, God did this in the past. God's going to do the same in the future, in my present. And these kind of things are just really good reminders. One of my mentors in high school used to say, Dave, the Christian life really is about perspective. And it's a good thing for me, because like you were saying, I can be the same way, forget, self-sufficient. Well, I've done this so long. I've been a Christian so long, and we should never think that way, first off, but We do, because, I mean, hello, somebody, we have indwelling sin. And we got to keep repenting. And, you know, that's why we need God's people. We need God's grace. And we have a good plan. God has a good plan. He's a good and a faithful God. And so these things sound, they sound so basic, right? They sound so, but it's really the basic things that are most, the more I even mature in the older I get, it's like, actually, the most basic things are really the most profound things. It's like, it's not the most profound truths that are the, I mean, they are profound, but it's really the most basic things that are really the most profound.
So. Yeah. I mean, an example that comes to mind is Philippians 4:6-7, like this whole idea of don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, you know, bring it to the Lord and you'll get peace. Like, sure. That sounds really simple. And yet, you know, if we really learn to do that, if we really learn to bring all of our anxieties to Him and cast all those cares on Him and, you know, to have Him work in us what we can't do on our own and give us His peace, like, what a game changer that is, you know, to come to that place. I mean, I think it's normal in our suffering to ask questions, to try to bargain with God, to make demands. Like, that's all normal. That's part of, like you said, indwelling sin. Like, that's part of, you know, we want it to change things. And yet I think it's the work of the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray instead, even if these things never change, please use this to change me, to do your work in my heart and to help me have peace in the middle of something that's really hard, whether that's, you know, what you're walking through with your parents' dementia, or a single woman who really wants to be married, or, you know, someone who has lost someone in COVID. Like, there's so many different scenarios of the hard thing that someone could be walking through, but whatever that suffering is, you know, I think for God to be able to come into that, definitely, as you were asking before, like, it brings God glory because people see, you know what, that's something only God can do.
Mm. Yeah. It shows off the gospel. Mm-hmm. We need to recognize that too. Mm-hmm. And say, you know what? That's actually the gospel. That's not Dave. That's not Katie. That's not anybody else. That's God by his power at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is waiting so hard for us as Christians?
Why is waiting so hard for us as humans?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know why waiting is so hard. I think it's just kind of ingrained. I've always tended towards impatience. That's just my natural bent. And, you know, and gets from one point A to point B, and then you're waiting for something else. But I think maybe there is another sense where it's written into our DNA in a spiritual sense that we really are living between two gardens. So we're living between Eden and we're living between Eden and heaven. And we long, you know, in this broken world where we suffer all kinds of griefs and trials and temptations, we long for heaven and restoration and being with Christ. And so I think that there is a type of impatience, a longing for that day that, you know, and that place even, and that person in Christ that is in us as Christians, that, you know, is a good kind of eagerness, let's say. But yeah, I don't know why are we so impatient? I mean, maybe we're not really believing and trusting that God has everything in His sovereign control and His timing. Maybe we're still thinking we know what's best. I don't know. Do you have thoughts on that? Why?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of it is that it is what you said, but I think it also is that, you know, like the Israelites, they wanted the gift. They wanted the gift of God and not God Himself. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can say I've been guilty of that. You know, God has given me and blessed me with many gifts and talents and abilities, and it's so easy just to trust those. But I worked through this project on contentment. It took me like 2 years to finish it. Mm-hmm. And it was so good for me just to realize to address. And I realized I went all the way back to my childhood in the midst of this. And I realized, you know what? I have lacked contentment for the majority of my life. Mm-hmm. And that actually helped. That helped me a lot. Just that self-awareness and knowledge that, hey, when I was a child, I was striving to be the best athlete, same the teenager. And I pushed myself and I did all these things in my 20s, 30s. I pushed myself to, you know, with God's help, obviously, to get, you know, to where I'm at. And, you know, we can just push our way. Pushing is not really the right way to say that. But like when we are self-sufficient, we're not finding our contentment in the Lord. And I think that reveals a lack of trust and confidence in God and in the gospel. Mm-hmm. And it also shows us why waiting is so hard. Because when we're waiting on the Lord, we're going to be content. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I think that, you know, Israel failed is they failed to wait on the Lord because they failed to find, they wanted his gifts and not himself. And man, we do the same, the story that is there to remind us not to do that. And we do that because, boy, I can't remember the verse. But you know, we're faithless and God is faithful, you know? And I think just, some thoughts on that. That would be just my thought is, I think that we're often faithless and we need to remind ourselves that God's faithful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think?
No, I think that's good. You know? Yeah. I think you're right. I think a lot of times we want the healing. We want the solution. We want the answer. We want the spouse. We want whatever it is that we're waiting for. And, you know, I think you know, part of the sanctification process for that is maybe even God's using that to help us see, you know, he is the one who can satisfy. These other things are temporary.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, how do our hardest days help us to give comfort to others on our hard days?
Yeah. So the scripture, Paul again talks about how God comforted him so he could comfort others. And I think the Lord does the same thing for us. You know, I think in my own experience, some of the people who have been the best comforters for me have been people who have maybe walked through some of the same challenges. Maybe they've, I mean, I share in the book, one of the hard things that I have walked through in the last few years was a very, difficult miscarriage. And so I think in that particular experience, the people who were the most encouraging to me were people who had walked through a similar experience and could speak of God's faithfulness to them and cared for me in some very practical ways. But, you know, ultimately, even if we're going through something that nobody else has ever gone through before, even if we're going through something that no one else can relate to, the Lord, you know, I think of our sympathetic high priest who, you know, he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses and we can draw near to him and find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. And he truly is the perfect comforter. So he offers his comfort to us, whatever we're going through. But I just love that his comfort doesn't end with us, that part of his purpose, even in comforting us, is that so we can then comfort others, even if it's a different kind of trial, we can still be the conduit, those jars of clay that carry his comfort, ultimately the comfort we've received in the gospel to others. So, you know, the greatest need that any of us face isn't a need for a healing or something of that nature. It really is to be forgiven of our sins. And that comfort is found in the gospel and in what Christ did in paying for our sins once for all on the cross. And so we can share that comfort with those who are struggling. Yeah.
So good. Yeah, I would just take that and probably go not in the opposite direction, but from a different angle. In that, one thing I found especially helpful with my parents' dementia and memory loss and everything else really is to take the time to lean into it. It's going to sound really kind of maybe hokey, but what I mean is like, especially like if I'm tired and fatigued, and you know, that happens because when you're dealing with an overly very complex emotions coming at you, it exhausts your body and overwhelms it. And so what I mean by leaning into it is take the time to give yourself that rest and that relaxation that you need, and take the time to pray and just relax, just unwind. I know that, you know, you might not be, if you're at your job, you can't just like leave and do that, but you can take in, you know, some scripture on a break and, you know, lean into that, and then remind yourself again and again of key truths in your in the word, like Hebrews 13:5-9, especially are good texts to memorize. You know, Psalm 42 and 43, we mentioned Philippians 4, James 1 is another good one. You know, Colossians 3, Galatians 5, you know, these texts, just pull them up. Even if you have a card, you know, maybe print off these texts and have them in your pocket, so that you can pull them out. And these kind of things, what they do is they help us to do what I'm talking about, lean in a little more to these realities. Because it helps us. We need the reminder. I need it. You need it. We all need it. And these reminders, they just help us. And we're the question is about comforting others. But if you can't be comforted yourself, you can't comfort others. So I just wanted to take that like the opposite direction of where you're going.
No, that's good. And I think I have two different thoughts. One would be, it's been interesting the last few years as the Lord has carried our family through some hard things, the opportunities he's given us to come alongside and offer comfort to others as a result of that. And, you know, sometimes that comfort is just sitting with someone else in his or her grief and being quiet and just recognizing, yeah, this is hard. This is part of living in a fallen world, and just being there with someone, being present. But I think some of that is learned by having walked through some harder experiences. The other thing I would say to your point with memorizing scripture, which I think is wonderful. So my book is designed so that each chapter has a key verse. And the idea is that these verses could be some of those anchors that you could hold on to in some of your hard times. So my publisher actually made, and these are free, they're completely free, downloadable memory verse worksheets. And you can go through each of those scripture passages. And I forget exactly how it's set up, but I think the idea is you read it, you write it down, you say it. And the idea is to be able to hide those in your heart to offer comfort and to sustain if you're going through something hard now, or, you know, if you're not, in the future, we all will be. So to have those verses hidden in our hearts for those hard days.
It's really good. Really good. Well, Katie, just as we kind of wind down this show today, where can people go to find out you on social media or otherwise?
Sure. So you can find me, katieferris.com. And if you go to my website, then you'll have links to my Facebook, my Instagram. On Facebook, I actually started a page called Loving My Children, which comes from another book that I wrote a couple years ago. And so I try to offer a lot of encouragement to moms, especially on that page. But yeah, on Instagram, I'm just Katie T. Ferris.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I encourage you guys to go ahead and follow her. She posts great stuff that will help you in your hard days or any a day, whether you're a mom or not. So, you know, I always say this as we wrap up, there's just so much to say. we guys have only scratched the surface, as you no doubt know. But just as we land the plane for this show today, can you give us a few takeaways?
Yeah. So I think where I'd want to go, what I'd want to say really is to the person who's watching this show and is going or listening and is in the middle of something really hard. I think just to remind you that God does see, even if it doesn't feel like he sees you, he does hear your prayers and your cries for help, even if you feel like there's just silence on the other end. And, you know, he's real and he is faithful and it's worth waiting for him. Those times where you can't see and you can't hear or, so yeah, I think my prayer, my hope as people read this book and for you would be that God would really strengthen your faith for the long haul and sustain you and carry you to the end.
Mm. Wonderful. Well, guys, we've been talking today with my friend Katie Ferris about her book, He Will Be Enough, How God Takes You by the Hand Through the Darkest Days. If you're watching the video, here's another peek at it. There it is. Hopefully you can see it. Yep, there you go. It is great. And as I said, I endorsed it. So, you know, that means that it's really good. And, Katie, thank you so much for your time and your friendship, your blessing, and people will be blessed by this book. As they read it and open it with God's word, as you so well said, God bless you. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Servants of Grace podcast today. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or by searching Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this podcast on the front page of our website at servantsofgrace.org.